What's going on in Ukraine? Protesters are blockading public buildings. The prime minister apologized for earlier police violence against demonstrators, although he added ominously, "We've extended our hand to you, but if we encounter a fist, I will be frank, we have enough force." The uproar is over the president of this former Soviet republic deciding against signing a long-anticipated agreement with Europe. Ukraine has been split in loyalties between Europe and Russia, which wants Ukraine in its economic orbit and has threatened sanctions if Ukraine moves closer to Europe. Oleg Katsuba is online editor for Kryptika. That's a leading intellectual and cultural journal in Ukraine. But he's here in the States studying for his PhD at Harvard. Oleg, welcome.
Thank you.
And start with a line that you wrote in the New York Times, that this is Ukraine's battle for Europe. What do you mean?
So what is going on right now is indeed battle for European values in Ukraine. The new generation of people, they are not willing to put up with the current situation. They want to be respected by their government. They want to have an accountable government. And they connect a number of circumstances with the European Union, such as a working economy, good health system, inclusive society, tolerance, openness, and so on.
Well, and we mentioned that the country had been sort of torn between, you know, half of the country bordering Europe, the other half closer to Russia, formerly the Soviet Union, which it was a part of. And there had been that cultural divide, but you say the pull is more towards Europe?
So currently, it's very difficult to argue against the European values because they're really the humanist values, you know, abandoning fear, facing the new. And of course, it's difficult for some people, but it's very difficult also for the government to mobilize people against it. How can you argue against clean streets or, you know, a good hospital? The divisions of the 2004, the so-called Orange Revolution, are not there anymore.
Further draw the line from today's protests back to the protests of 2004. Americans trying to keep track maybe can be forgiven for having a vague memory that people came out on the streets, they were angry, and there was a woman in a yellow braid. You know, how does what's happening now relate to then, including the players? The president of the country now was a player then.
Absolutely. The major difference, perhaps, between the events of the Euromaidan, as we call it, and the Orange Revolution of 2004 is that this is not drawn along political lines.
And say that word again, Euromaidan?
Euromaidan. Maidan is the Ukrainian slash also Arabic word for square.
Yeah, so it's people coming out into the square.
Exactly. So people are protesting on the square, and it's not drawn against along the political lines. Whereas in 2004, you had two contestants for the presidential position, Viktor Yushchenko and Viktor Yanukovych. And so people were mobilized around these figures.
Well, and as you just said, the current president was one of those figures, and he was accused then of rigging an election.
Absolutely. This is probably a deep psychological trauma for him. And so part of how he acts today, pretending that nothing is going on, in fact, the president yesterday left for China, shows us that, you know, he is probably traumatized by the events back then and is not taking the current situation as seriously as he perhaps should.
Traumatized by the events. Well, meanwhile, the woman in the yellow braid, Yulia Tymoshenko, she was a leader of the Orange Revolution, served short terms as prime minister, but is in prison over charges of embezzlement and abuse of power. Where does she fit into this? What does she symbolize, if anything?
She symbolizes the selectiveness of the justice in Ukraine and, in general, the failure of the system of law. They couldn't prove anything, yet she is in jail. She is currently on hunger strike. She has called many times for the Ukrainian government to sign the agreement
with
Europe. Europe. Yeah, exactly. One of the key conditions on the European part was that she be released. She made a statement saying that she does not insist on being released right now. She remains a symbol, but she is not the center of the protests. And in general, the political parties are not the center of the protest. This is perhaps one of the first, or maybe the very first, real expression of the civil society in Ukraine.
What else is culturally going on under the surface here in Ukraine? Because we know next door in Russia, Vladimir Putin is promoting conservative values. We understand in Ukraine, all different sorts of people are coming to the streets. And for instance, one of the protests was called by a journalist who's a Muslim, and this is an overwhelmingly Christian country. So are there other sort of cultural cracks that are appearing during this protest in Ukraine?
So one of the positive things of these protests is that they are really all-inclusive. the message being projected from the Maidan, from the Euromaidan, is that there are many Ukrainians, but there is one Ukraine. We are all different, but we are all here for one bigger goal, the European values in Ukraine. However, there are many perils. Very early on, right-wing, semi-radical political parties such as Svoboda joined in the protests, focusing on exclusively Ukrainian ethnic linguistic identity.
They have a put down for anyone who would be tolerant or not discriminate. It's the word tolerasti.
Exactly. Tolerasti is the word that is used here. It's an ugly term that refers to intellectually minded or European minded intellectuals who believe and practice values such as openness, tolerance towards people who are different.
But is that what many of the protesters are pushing back against?
Absolutely. So the protesters have done a tremendous and amazing job in overcoming these fears and also pointing out that these are scare tactics. They refer to such actions as being sovok, basically dustbin, a set of behavioral patterns that are known from the Soviet past, being afraid of many things, being closed in, not letting in anything new, anything that is a certain challenge culturally or intellectually.
They're saying that belongs in the dustbin of history. It's interesting because as is happening elsewhere, young people in Ukraine are on Facebook and social media, and that's also been behind this.
Absolutely. So this is a completely new generation of people. This revolution is happening online through social media, through the internet, and this is the big difference.
But do you think it's going to be squashed? We heard the threat of the prime minister that they have force.
I don't think so. It has become too massive. People are too upset with what has been going on in Ukraine for the past decade or so. People want changes, and they're for the first time ready to do the hard work to bring those changes about.
That's Oleg Kotsuba, the online editor for Kritika, the leading intellectual and cultural journal of Ukraine. He's here in the Boston area studying for his PhD at Harvard. Oleg, thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.